ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
Always a pleasure to get some wisdom, wit, wisdom, and just expertise. Brother Johnny Thomas Edison of our time in oil and gas. Today from Houston, Texas. Johnny?
Good morning, Stevie.
Mike Ditka's in Florida, where he is eating up the golf links there, playing like the tiger. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm not eating up any golf links.
All right, we begin with Tiger Woods.
I played well this week, and thank you to Steve for the putting lesson.
Steve Stricker, yes.
Yes. It was one of those weeks where I felt pretty good about how I was playing, and I made some putts and pretty much got it rolling.
Why do we like watching Tiger Woods win, Mike?
Well, he's good for golf. He really is. When he wins, I think the golf tour is better. I'm not saying that he's going to win every week, but I really do. I think, you know, there were great people, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, you know, throughout history, some of the great golfers, and he's one of them, and he's one of the people that people identify the PGA with. I mean, it's Tiger Woods. I mean, it's a special thing, and he played outstanding golf on a tough golf course, and it showed. You know, he kind of limped in a little bit, but that was, you know, he was playing to win it. He wasn't playing to be showy.
Well, boy, he starts making putts. That was, he said, thank you, Steve. That was Steve Stricker he was saying thank you to.
Yeah.
Our Illinois guy, and gave a couple of putting tips. Boy, that's been one of his things, too. Mike, hasn't he? He hasn't made those putts well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Steve Stricker played awfully good, too. I mean, a lot of guys play good. I mean, guys, the golf course is not easy, and the thing down here the last couple of days, it's been great weather, but it's been windy. And you play windy on that golf course, you cannot. You got to stay away from the trouble, or if you get near the trouble, you're going to see what happens. You're going to get in trouble.
I mean, but the 18 was playing as a par four. It was playing 5.2 was the average score for the best players in golf.
Absolutely. The best players in the world.
Unbelievable. Wow. I mean, when those guys, Johnny, what would I make on that number? 10?
You'd probably get a 5.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's so hard. I can't believe how good the players are, Mike. I just can't believe how good what they can do. It's like a scalpel when they have.
It's John. I mean, Steve, you make a point, but I mean, you got a 165-yard par three, and they're hitting a 9-iron.
What?
I mean, it's long. Actually, it's long.
How do you? So if you can shoot, if Tiger uses an 8-iron for 170 yards, I mean, the thing's going in at a different trajectory, Johnny. He can land and maybe stay.
Oh yeah. Well, you've just got so many things, so many variables, and then you add the wind, like Mike says. But when you can do that kind of thing with those tools, which I wouldn't know. I did play with Justin Leonard once, and I noticed he'd stand there and look at a shot, Mike, in the middle of the fairway, and he had three options. And I'm looking at, I wouldn't have any options.
Yeah, he didn't use a driver on one tee. He hit a utility wood, and he hit it 285 yards.
Yeah, I don't
know. So, I mean, you know, this is a whole different game, guys. These guys are so strong, and I mean, it's fun to watch. I really enjoyed watching all of them, not only him. I was glad he won, but I was fun. It was fun watching the whole thing.
Yeah, it really was. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, the Heat are hot.
The defending NBA champions are on fire, and no opponent can seem to put it out.
The Heat up by 17. For three. Come on!
Oh, baby, it's on!
The Miami Heat make it 18 straight wins, beating the Indiana Pacers 105-91 on Sun Sports. Their streak ties the seventh longest in NBA history, and it's the best run since the Boston Celtics won 19 straight in 2008. But it's a long way from the LA Lakers' record of 33 consecutive victories during the 1971-72 season. Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
I can only remember two people off that Laker team. It would be Jerry West and Lou Alcindor, later Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, that Laker team in 72 was amazing. But, Mike, you know something about streaks. The Bears, your Super Bowl Bears, I think, finally lost Monday night in Miami. But otherwise, you had a bunch in a row. Pressure does mount the more you win. But, man, for the NBA, guys to win that many in a row is pretty impressive.
Well, I think there's a lot to go with in confidence factor, too. I mean, they're a very confident team. They're good. I mean, they're very good. Yeah, LeBron James is outstanding. The other day, he scored, 12 points or 10 points, and they still won. So they got a great club. They're well coached, but, you know, everybody plays a part in what they do. They don't really depend on one guy, but if you don't concentrate on LeBron James, he'll put 35 on the board. So, I mean, it is what it is. They just got a great basketball team right now. And I tell you what, I can understand it now. I mean, people might be amazed by them winning 18 straight. They might break that record.
Well, I'll tell you, they're rolling, and they do have the talent. If it just that chemistry keeps working, I'll tell you, it's fun to watch that kind of level of talent. But right now in the NBA, it makes it even harder to do something like that because there's some pretty good teams out there.
Yeah.
And it's a grueling schedule. That's what always impressed me about the modern NBA is the number of games they play. So how do you play like that consistently? So, you know, they're talking about one of the best teams ever, which is always fun, but we'll see. And it's a little early, Steve.
Yeah.
You got the playoffs.
Yeah,
they got to get through them, but I'll tell you, these guys are good.
Yeah,
we thought they were going to be a great team, and then they kind of didn't meet maybe expectations immediately, and now look at them.
33 in a row for the Lakers. I just came up with two more names: Gail Goodrich and Elgin Baylor. Maybe were on that team. Jerry
Elgin
West,
who
of course Mike smothered Jerry West when he tried to play college basketball, was no match for Mike Ditka, and Jerry West couldn't score in West Virginia and Pitt. But, you know, I remember that. So, West Virginia, Jerry West, Lou Alcindor, Elgin Baylor, Gail Goodrich. That was an amazing team back in the day as well in 1972. 7:41, it's March.
Mo, a miss, and the Liberty Flames started the season 0-8, and they're headed to the NCAA tournament.
Armstead looking for it.
Conference tournament's got going this weekend, much more this week, and then Selection Sunday this Sunday. Mike, is there a better sporting event in this country every year than this?
Well, I know you have to classify the Super Bowl as a pretty good one. The World Series is a pretty good one. But March Madness, I think it captivates more people. I think there are more, because you've got teams from all over the country. You don't have a team from like New York and Chicago or L.A., so you got them from all over the country. They all have an interest in it. And I think March Madness, I think it is. It's something special.
Well, and it goes that 3 weeks, too. It's a long term, and everybody starts watching these conference battles to see who's going to get in. And then it's, of course, the last man standing kind of deal. It's a great tournament.
Yeah.
And some of these smaller teams, you're going to see. We're still waiting for a number one to beat a number 16, I think, Steve.
Yeah, a 16 beat a one. Give me 16, yeah. 16 beat a one. Patrick Ewing's Georgetown team beat Princeton in the opening round by 2 points back in the 80s, but that's been about it. But you're right. I think parity has gotten to the point where that could happen at some point. Illinois loses at Ohio State yesterday, and now the Big Ten tournament will begin Thursday. And more on that as the week progresses. All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Flooring Services, where the world is at your feet.
The world at your feet. Take a look around, and you will see.
Locally owned doesn't mean little ideas. At Flooring Services, we think big. That means a huge inventory of ceramic and porcelain tiles imported from around the world, right here to Champaign. It means hardwood, made to our high standards, offered at factory direct prices. And it means a big, beautiful showroom filled with the latest trends and fashions in flooring. Flooring Services can help you change one room or the whole house with free design assistance, free measure service, and experienced staff and financing options available. We are a local company offering global fashions and a commitment to quality. See what Flooring Services can offer you today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
The world at your feet. Flooring Services. The world at your feet.
On ESPN Radio 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. It's Hall of Famer Mike Ditka every Monday and Friday with Brother Johnny, 7:30 to 8. So glad you're along. All right, one more sports-related item. I have not had a chance to ask you about this, Mike. How much would Joe Flacco have made in 1963?
I don't know, but it's good to see it. I think, you know, we understand that there's a lot of money in pro football, pro sports. The owners certainly make a lot of money. The owners make a lot of money. You know, everybody makes good money. Good to see. He's a good guy.
But $20 million a year, Johnny, I mean, back in Mike's day, I think,
we don't comprehend it. I don't comprehend that, man. I tell you what, I made that $12,000. That was pretty good. I don't know.
20.1, Steve.
20.1.
Doobie's making 20. That's a lousy 20. And now Flacco's at 20.1.
So I mean, I think Joe Flacco would have made $3,000 a year in your day, Mike.
Well, you know, he probably would have made a little bit more than that, but, you know, not much. So, I mean, it really is crazy, 10, 15,000 maybe. But, hey, it's okay. I mean, it's good to see that. I have no problem with it. If they couldn't afford to do it, they wouldn't do it. Now, do I think you're going to hurt the game? Well, how high is high?
Yeah.
You know, you got to stop it somewhere.
Yeah.
I wonder if Flacco can hold that kind of performance level. He the last year or two he's been showing signs of it, then he kind of broke through, had some pretty good help I thought from some receivers.
Well,
good,
John,
but he's a good player, but I don't know.
Well, you make a good point. Can he hold that level? Well, I think it depends on his teammates. See, football is the most comprehensive team sport there is, I think.
I do too.
You got 11 on the side, guys, and you know, if somebody breaks down, whether it be receiver, offensive lineman, the center, a blocking back misses a blitz, you got problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I see.
I think you're right about that.
It's great that he makes the kind of money, Mike, as long as these players understand how blessed they are to be at a time in a league you guys built. I mean, it's just what happens. It evolved. It got huge. The money they're making, it's just crazy dollars. Well,
I think Flacco does. I think he understands, and I hope he does.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you 100%, Steve. I mean, I say it all the time. Now, if you fall into this category, you have stature and notoriety and fame, then you have obligation and responsibility back to the public, too, to the fans. So act like a gentleman, you know, do the right things, and I think everybody will appreciate you.
And don't get mad if you have to sign an autograph for crying out loud. You're making all that money. I mean, Mike, how much would Mike make in today's dollars, Johnny? A buck.
Well, I don't know. He'd be a top player.
Top guy, franchise guy. Mike Ditka, franchise guy. All right, we go to politics, Capitol Hill.
Well, he goes to Capitol Hill this week to meet with lawmakers from both sides of the aisle. Last week, as you know, he had dinner with a dozen Democrats and lunch with Paul Ryan.
What gets me here, Johnny, is that the president meeting with people is news. What about getting something done? Meetings should be a given.
It starts with meetings. I mean, that like you say, that's new and it's news. So I haven't even paying that much attention, Mike.
I think it's better than nothing, but I think it's all show, no substance. I really do. I really believe that. Now you saw what they've done. Now they've closed the White House down, the tours closed a few things down now, and now they're punishing the little guy. Really, they're saying, well, this sequester thing is really hurting the average guy. There's no reason for it. There's a million places you could cut out of this stupid budget that they have, and it wouldn't affect a thing. But now you say, well, we're going to make it where people can see. Well, we're going to close this dude, and they don't. You know, he's in the White House. He lives there. It's his home while he's the president. But it's the people's home. It belongs to the country.
It's a new level too. That's to me very alarming when you can look, Stevie. Look the American people right in the eye and say he's got to close down the White House tours because we don't have the money.
Yeah.
Well, he knows he's not telling the truth. He knows that's not true. Everybody watching him knows
it's not true. You
know, when we're
kids, guys, you know, when a guy didn't get his way or something, you go around and assault.
Right.
It's a childish reaction. And that's my opinion. I mean, I think it's absolutely childish. I think it's, if when people look at it, they understand that this guy is not for America. He's for himself.
But when you, it's almost like, Mike, he's challenging you to say what you know is right, which is, we have the money for the tours. He's just challenging
Absolutely.
You to disagree with him. It's a very arrogant, and I agree, immature thing to do. But it's also pretty openly, overtly disingenuous, and I think people see it, and I don't think it's doing anybody any good, and I don't think it's doing him any good.
All right, will they come to any kind of...
I think it's really going to backfire, I really do, and I hope it does.
Will they solve anything, by the way? Will they get anything accomplished here in the next 3 weeks?
Well, they're not. They're going to raise the debt limit. They're not going to... I don't think they're going to shut everything down, but with this cast of characters, I'd say anything's happened. From that standpoint, you know, it's dramatic because we're not sure what they're going to do.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3, Okay to Roam.
We got a peek inside the Sistine Chapel this weekend. It is being transformed into a voting place for the Cardinals. Workmen have been running around under Michelangelo's famed frescoes, getting tables and chairs set up for the Cardinal electors. This, as Romans wait in rapt suspense to see how the conclave goes.
Pretty big deal, Johnny. New Pope.
Well, how long did that take?
Well, as soon as there's 115, you have to be under 80 to be a cardinal and vote. You have to be under 80. And so it takes 115 voters. You've got to have 67. So 70 votes till somebody gets 70 is what the game. So I guess they talk and somebody says, I like this guy. Somebody says, I like this guy. We're not going to get an American pope, are we, Mike?
It would be hard to believe that. I don't think so. I mean, really, it would. You know, again, who's the best man for the job? You don't know, and I don't know, and I'm sure that they have questions. That's why, you know, they're not all going to agree on the same person. So, I doubt that it would be America.
Well, I hope they don't. Those Cardinals don't get in there and start thinking they can take pictures of the Sistine Chapel because they made that against the rule. You know,
that's right.
The flash will take the color off, so they need to watch that. And
I remember we were there a couple of years ago, and that window where the smoke comes out, this itty bitty window way up high, and you're going, what kind of ladder or something? But they got this piping system mm-hmm. that apparently can get up there and go through. So you're going to look for a gray black smoke means nobody has enough votes. White smoke means we have a new pope.
Wow.
All right. So the world will wait and watch. To the TSA, a former TSA airport security guy has come out with some information.
In an article in the New York Post, the former TSA screener says it's easy to bend the rules, and much of what agents do amounts to, quote, make-believe. For example, the pat-downs that some flyers find offensive, well, the former screener calls them ridiculous, saying it's impossible to find anything with the back of your hand. And screenings of children, well, those last about 10 seconds, going completely against TSA protocol.
All right, so what? We need more security, Johnny? Now they're going to allow knives as of April 25th. You can take your pie. Mike, I don't understand any.
I don't. Believe me, I'm right with you. I have no clue why anybody, for any reason, would want a knife on an airplane and why anybody would let anybody take a knife on an airplane. I don't care if it's 1 inch long. I really don't. Makes no sense.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pocket knife. People use them, utility things, and I sure carry a little Swiss knife, but I don't know how many people I could hurt with. I guess you could hurt someone with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's hard to search all those people, Mike. I've always wondered how effective it was. You know, the same thing when you're going into one of the big sporting events, and they're trying to do the best they can. But
you know, the idea originally, and it's really good because, you know, you have to be, after what we had, the things that we've had, the planes that went down, you have to have some type of security. But I think this security, it lacks common sense. It really does. And that's what bothers me. The TSA, I don't know that these people are qualified for anything except standing there.
Well, what's interesting, too, and it's kind of ironic, Steve, we could probably target and profile average airplane passenger list down to 20% to really double-check those people. And we go the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We over-search people that we know aren't going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, right.
But we don't want to admit that that's not fair. We think it's not fair, so we don't want to admit that maybe we have to do it the other way. And I'd probably be targeted, but I understand that.
Yeah, me too.
And so,
I mean,
so that makes it 10 times harder to be effective.
Well, I've been with travelers that have been 88 years old, and they stop these travelers, and I'm going, you know what? I can take this guy. I know I can. What are they doing? What are they doing? I mean, the guy can barely walk.
Well, guys, I get stopped all the time, and I mean, it's okay. I mean, I understand it, but, you know, I'm supposed to have one of these, whatever the high, you know, passage thing is, but it's still the same thing, and you know, you got two artificial hips.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, you're not going to get through the airport.
Yeah, no,
I understand that. And so, you know, hey, whatever they think is fair, but, you know, I wear a crucifix. just because I've worn it since I've been a young person, and that's what I believe. And they always pat that down. I'm going, hello. It's around my neck.
All right, Mike and Johnny, last item. The media in a real frenzy regarding Jeb Bush. Is he going to run for president after the 75th time he was asked in the last 4 days?
Oh, man, you guys are crack addicts. You really are obsessed with all this politics.
You know, I mean, will the country accept another Bush running for president, Johnny?
I'd be hard to believe. With what George W. Bush took and the onslaught before, during, and after his presidency, it'd be hard to imagine. But, Mike, I'll believe anything with the electorate.
Well, you know, I think Jeb is a very qualified, outstanding man. He understands people, politics, the country. I don't know why he'd want to. I'll be honest. I'm sorry. I just don't know why he'd want to right now. But because I think, you know, the liberal media is going to come after him and this and that. You can't, you know, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, I think of the three Bushes, Jeb's the most charismatic and the smoothest, the most connectable of the three. But I don't know if...
I don't know. John, I like the other two.
Yeah, I did too, but I think Jeb just seems to be more of a guy, more electable, I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're going to leave it there. I appreciate it.
That'd be hard to believe. And yeah. It's a little early, isn't it? Good grief. Boy, I'll tell you what. Maybe we should take a month off.
Yeah, that's right. We need a month off. Johnny, Mike, always a pleasure. I'll catch up on Friday. But thank you, as always. Really appreciate both of you.
Well, thank you, guys. God bless you.
Hey, all right, Mikey. I'll probably give you a call.
Mike Dick, your brother Johnny. ESPN Radio 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3.